All right, guys. So to help you decide whether Andrew Jackson was a hero or a villain, we need to talk about him growing up so that you can kind of get a backstory of why he became the man that he was known as. We're going to talk about his time in this podcast during his early life, growing up on the frontier, growing up in a poor household. And finally, we'll talk about his time during the American Revolution and what he did to participate in the American Revolution. So let's begin here. We're going to first take a step back from Andrew Jackson himself and talk about his family and them settling in America. So back in 1765, Andrew Jackson Sr., Jackson's father, immigrated with his family from Ireland. They decided to settle on the border of North and South Carolina, where Andrew Jackson Sr. became a logger. He passed away unexpectedly in 1767 in a logging accident, the same year that Andrew Jackson was born. So Andrew Jackson was named after Andrew Jackson Sr. Andrew Jackson actually never knew his father. The debate of where Jackson was actually born is still contested today. Some believe that he was born in North Carolina. Some believe he was born in South Carolina. Jackson was always adamant about his birthplace being South Carolina. He never grew up in his actual family home where his father had settled. Shortly after his father passed away, his mother, Elizabeth Hutchinson Jackson, immediately moved Jackson and his siblings in with their relatives named the Crawfords. Here, Jackson grew up feeling like an outcast. His mom was working as the Crawfords' housekeeper, and obviously that's not a very prominent position of the time. For a single woman like herself, she's not going to be able to find a job that's going to pay a lot of money. So Andrew Jackson grew up very, very poor. His entire time at the Crawfords, he watched as the Crawfords' children were given luxuries and able to play with toys and have a pretty wealthy lifestyle, whereas Jackson and his siblings did not have the same luxuries. And so what Jackson began to want is the sense of independence for his family. He wanted to be able to have the same things that the Crawfords had. He wanted his own home for his family, and he wanted his family to just be independent and not have to rely on the Crawfords to live off of. So growing up poor on the frontier is a hard enough life for everyone, but growing up without a father means that you're not going to have a lot of money during this time. We've talked about how women just don't have the same rights back then as we do now. So Jackson grew up with no sense of formal education. He never attended a school like the other kids may have done, but he did enjoy attending church every single weekend. So every Sunday he spent hours upon hours at church. And when he was there, he would study scripture and read classic literature with the clergymen. This is really where Andrew Jackson got his informal education. This is where he became literate. This is where he became well-versed in the Bible. And this is where he became a God-fearing man. Jackson will go on to cite scripture throughout his life and always relate what he does back to God and explain that what he is doing is in the best interest for the country based on what the Bible says and what God says. That's just who Andrew Jackson is. So we'll get into that later on. But back to Jackson being a young boy growing up on the frontier. He was known as a tough young man, full of energy, fun, tons of fury, a little bit of hotheadedness. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot, and you'll figure that out in just about 30 seconds. And he was a very determined young boy. So before he was even a teen, there's a story of him and his friends. Jackson grew up to be an avid wrestler. He loved wrestling, and not in the sense of like WWE, like let's go ahead and suplex this dude and then we'll DDT this other dude, and you know what I mean. But legitimate wrestling. And growing up on the frontier, you had to show your toughness. You had to be able to compete with others. So one of his competitors, one of his friends, when they were fighting each other one time, said that I could throw him 3 times out of 4, but he would never stay throwed. This just goes to show Jackson's determination and his strength as a young boy. This determination will show through as we talk about him later on in these future episodes and podcasts. But this shows that no matter how many times you try to keep Jackson down, he's going to get back up. Keep that in mind as you're listening to this podcast. Another fun story from his childhood, before he was a teen, he was out shooting with some of his friends. They were all shooting their rifles. And when he was preoccupied one time, his friends grabbed his rifle and they packed down all this extra powder into his rifle, hoping that they could play a prank on him and he'd go to shoot the rifle and the blowback from that rifle would push him to the ground. And so Jackson grabs his rifle. He has no idea all this extra powder is packed in there, and he takes a shot. And as he hits that ground, he looks up and he says, "By God, if one of you laughs, I'll kill him." Once again, this just shows Andrew Jackson's temper. He's not the type of person that you would really want to go up against or tick off. So fast forwarding a little bit, kind of gone over his life in the frontier and what it's like to have to live out there. Let's get into the American Revolution a bit. So colonial resentment at this time is growing towards British rule. We all have talked about that. We've all gone through the American Revolution. We know how this has worked. Andrew Jackson, though, begins witnessing the atrocities of war firsthand. He witnessed a bunch of patriots slaughtered in Waxhaw, his hometown. And he saw that boys that were his age were fighting in the revolution. And so this is where he truly wanted to join the Patriots' cause. He had a little inspiration for that as well. He knew that his brother Hugh Jackson went off to fight in the revolution, and he died at Stono Ferry due to heat stroke. So he didn't necessarily die in the fighting itself, but this obviously angered Jackson. And then he also heard stories growing up of his grandfather who had fought in Ireland against Great Britain. And so that just gave him even more inspiration to join the Patriots' cause. And that's exactly what Jackson did. The Continental Army itself wouldn't accept Jackson because he was way too young to actually join. But Jackson met up with a group called the Irregulars, and these were people that were spread throughout the entire country. They were groups of militiamen and citizens in North Carolina, South Carolina. You could probably say your country bumpkins, but they're your people that would band together and fight with each other against the British instead of having to sign up for the Continental Army because they wouldn't accept them. So these Irregulars were just normal people like you and I that banded together to fight back. So he joins these Irregulars, and him and his brother Robert, they become couriers, which are simply people that would like take information from one place to another. And so they did this for the Patriots during this time. During one of their missions as a courier, they were being chased down by enemy redcoats in April of 1781. And as these British redcoats were chasing them down, they attempted to hide in one of the Crawford relatives' homes in Waxhaw. Unfortunately, a loyalist neighbor snitched on them and told the redcoats where they were. Jackson, unfortunately, didn't get to pay that loyalist back and, you know, give him the old snitches get stitches act. Instead, unfortunately, Jackson becomes the one that has to get stitches. So as they're found by the redcoats, there's this officer, this British officer that goes up to Jackson in the home of the Crawfords and says, boy, you need to get down there and polish my boots. Jackson claims to have said, "Sir, I am a prisoner of war and claim to be treated as such," meaning that you should respect me. I'm a prisoner just like anyone else. You're not going to ask an adult prisoner to shine your boots. So why are you going to ask me to do this? The British officer obviously thought that because he's a boy, he didn't have the same rights. But Jackson clearly was going to step up and be a little bit stubborn and tell him what's up. And so at this point, that officer raises his sword and Jackson puts up his left hand to block the blow. The British officer brings his sword down and it cuts Jackson across the face and across his left hand, leaving some pretty deep wounds that will eventually scar, and he will be reminded of that altercation for the rest of his life. This issue, though, with the British officer and this struggle has been believed to have strengthened Jackson and hoped to make him stand up against his enemies, to endure pain, to remain patient until victory was his. So Jackson's learning all of these qualities as a young boy. He's learning how to step up for himself and to defend himself, and his stubbornness grows and his hot-headedness grows. And really, he's faced a lot of problems growing up in his life. To add to that, Jackson and his brother Robert were taken to the British prison camp in this area of Waxhaw, where they had to endure terrible living conditions. At this time, prison camps weren't well taken care of by any means, and people that were sick were running rampant with smallpox. The smallpox had spread throughout the entire camp. On top of that, Jackson wasn't actually given any medical attention for his wounds, so they could have festered and he could have lost his hand or had infection in his face. Luckily, that didn't occur. But to get back to that smallpox issue, his brother Robert caught it. So later on, as they're at this prison camp, eventually, Jackson's mom comes forward and talks to the officers and secures the release of both of her boys. Unfortunately, she came with only two horses to pick up her boys. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, like just throw both the boys on the horse. Well, the horse couldn't carry the weight of both the boys, especially with Robert being sick. He had to lay down a lot. Jackson ended up having to walk 45 miles home with his mom on one horse and his brother on the other. And he was barefoot and coatless because the British had taken his belongings. So Jackson, being probably a teenager at this point, about your guys' age in eighth grade, has to walk this 45-mile walk home. Now, it's always ironic to me because you hear about a 13, 14-year-old boy having to walk 45 miles home, yet every eighth grader I've ever heard of complains about the pacer or the mile that they have to run in gym class. And so it kind of cracks me up that this 13 or 14-year-old boy walks 45 miles home, barefoot and coatless, doesn't complain about it one bit. On top of that, on this walk home, his brother Robert dies of smallpox around the same time that Jackson falls ill to the smallpox. So not only is he walking this 45-mile walk home, but he catches smallpox on the way there too, which is a terrible disease that kills many during this time. So moving forward, during the fall of 1781, so shortly after Robert died and shortly after they returned home, Jackson's mom passed away, leaving Jackson the only person that's a part of the family anymore, an orphan. So Jackson becomes an orphan and he has to stay with the Crawfords for a while. Life was okay for a little bit. Jackson was still upset that he has to be with the Crawfords. If we remember, he wanted that independent lifestyle, yet he's not going to get it yet. One day, though, there was a Captain Galbraith that showed up at the Crawfords' home, and the Crawfords were feeding him, and they were wining and dining with him. But eventually, some fighting broke out between Jackson and Captain Galbraith. Galbraith was expected to insult Andrew Jackson, and once again, Andrew Jackson is not the type of person to take an insult lightly. However, at this time, he was still sick and feeble from the smallpox, so he wasn't really in a fighting condition. However, he was believed to have said to this Captain Galbraith, who has insulted him, I have arrived at the age to know my rights. I have the courage to defend them. And if you attempt anything of the kind, I will assuredly send you to the other world. So Jackson is obviously stubborn. He's obviously hot-headed. I've given you a few adjectives to describe him at this point. So I'm sure you can see where this pattern of Andrew Jackson's behaviors has begun. It is now up to you to decide whether you believe that these stories that you have heard so far are of his daring heroism, or if he is simply a brash, foolish boy who is forced to grow up too fast. Take some time now to go back and fill out your note chart that I've given you on Google Classroom, and hopefully you can start to see where you are falling on believing whether Andrew Jackson is a hero or a villain. Stay tuned next time when we're going to be talking about Andrew Jackson's life as a frontier lawyer and leading up to the election of 1824.